Hello and welcome to the British Chambers podcast channel. We're delighted to bring you a second season of in-depth discussions and conversations with our members and high-profile speakers, ranging from topics like trade, fintech, arts, sports, and more within Singapore, ASEAN, and the UK. Thank you for your support, and we hope you enjoy today's podcast.
So good day to everyone. Thank you for listening to British Chamber of Singapore's podcast on women in STEM today. My name is Wan Ying Lim. I am a director at Bank Julius Baer and co-chair of Women in Business Committee at the British Chamber of Singapore. Today, we have the pleasure of listening to Yvonne Tan and Paul Friend have a fireside chat on this important topic of women in STEM. Yvonne is a senior engineering manager at Dyson in the Motors and Powers division for the last 6 years. She's currently a doctoral student at Singapore University of Technology and Design in pursuit of an engineering PhD, and is a guest lecturer at Nanyang Technological University alongside setting up the Dyson NTU studio at the university. Our second guest is Paul Friend, SCCFT fellowship and accolade held by some of the most committed teachers and leaders who have shown a significant and sustained contribution to the teaching profession and their own professional development. He is a founding principal at North London Collegiate School of Singapore. He has also set up the North London Collegiate School in Jeju, Korea, and was a headmaster in various other countries from China to South Africa to Thailand. So today we wanted to air a podcast on this topic to talk about how we can motivate and inspire more girls into STEM, starting from a young age up to graduates in the field. Our speakers will cover topics from characteristics that drive excellence in the field to biases from childhood to adulthood, at what schools and companies can do to help level the playing field so that we can have more feminine representation in the world of science, technology, engineering, and maths. Without further ado, I pass over to our speakers to take this forward. Over to you, Paul.
Thanks, Wan Ying. Thanks for the introduction. Real pleasure to be here having this conversation on a subject that I feel really, really passionately about, and a real pleasure, Yvonne, to meet you and have a chat with you. We're talking about women in STEM, and that's exactly what you are, a woman in STEM, a highly qualified engineer. Why don't we start by just asking you to give us an oversight of your career and experiences to date? I mean, just give us the top line view of what you've gone through in your professional experience.
First of all, thank you, Wayne, for the introduction, and hi, Paul, again. The fact that I guess I have over 20 over years of engineering experience just on career, people will also ask, I decided to be an engineer when I was a kid. Was that my aspiration? I would say probably not exactly. I think as a kid, we run wild. We have a lot of opportunity, and we tell when we get to certain thing, we get interested, we explore. But I think what started me on engineering from a young age is my natural inclination to do things with my hands. And I would just sneak into my uncle carpentry workshop to witness how they actually transform ordinary planks of wood into functional furniture pieces. I guess I was lucky to have that environment that bring me up to encourage kids to have hands-on experience. And of course, the fact that my parents did not go against my rascal behavior of a girl running around instead of just sitting at home playing with toys or dolls, that kind of helped me explore that further. And in terms of engineering career, it was kind of natural that I started with my education in engineering. And in terms of work-wise, I started in foundationally engineering-centric company. And God, it's like when you are in a full of engineering environment, you kind of just get away with day-to-day of engineering in that sense. And of course, people might also ask, during the whole 20 over years of engineering, did I ever thought of moving away? That was like some of the questions that pop up in my career as well. I said, actually, no, because day to day, this is what I'm passionate about. This is what I enjoy. And I kind of stuck with it over 20 over years in different companies.
And we often talk, don't we, about the various STEM fields being male dominated, and we use that phrase, and certainly from my perspective as an educator, it's something that we talk to girls an awful lot about those various careers being male dominated. In your experience, is that a fair label, a fair assessment to throw around? Are you conscious of being a woman existing in a male dominated field?
That's a very good question, actually. To be fair, yes, I mean, being a female, I can't change that. And I embrace that, to be fair. And I would say as much as being the minorities, but it's also sometimes being privileged. It's always a both side of things. And I guess it's also depending on the career we choose. Like, for example, in STEM, it's more women-centric, probably because the fact that people has the wrong impression in the early days. But I guess it has been changing over the years. I can see more female right now as I'm an educator myself in NTU. It gives me so much joy to see so much more female taking up engineering. But when I started in my engineering school, that was 20 years ago, I was only like 10 out of 100 cohort of students studying engineering. At first, people would say, oh, how do you survive? But I guess it's also my childhood where I always play with the neighborhood children. And mainly when you say run wild, typically are boys because they're more hands-on and outside. It's kind of stereotyping. But the fact that it's a character of a person that bring about your passion, not so much about gender. And there's always a kind of a different set. There will be female that is more hands-on. There will also be male that are more delicate in that sense. For example, if you look at the contrast in STEM education towards engineering and so on, it's kind of more male-centric. But when you talk about like nursing, people will think that it's just female-centric. Does it mean that a male will not do a good job? No, actually a male will still be a very good nurse, just like a female can still be a very good engineer.
There is a sense, isn't there? And I know when we speak to teenage girls that are becoming really interested and passionate about the sciences, about STEM subjects. And then when we talk about the work environment and we get back to the fact that they are expecting it to be male dominated, they see so many messages that tell them they're moving into a male dominated sphere. For a number of teenage girls, that can become quite daunting, quite intimidating almost, the thought of moving into a university course and a workplace where they are going to be relatively isolated in a relatively low number of females. I think that the point that you're making, that things are changing and improving, and we should recognise the huge steps forward that we've taken, but we can't be complacent, can we? I mean, there's still a huge amount to be done. There still are some barriers there for some girls. I think also the cultural context is really important as well. You know, we're not just talking about gender. We do need to think about the cultural context as well. I think when we talk to girls about careers in STEM fields, stereotypes are incredibly powerful. And as much as we want to say, particularly as educators, you know, we shouldn't rely on stereotypes. We need to banish them. They are a very, very real thing. And particularly when youngsters don't have firsthand knowledge of what a work environment is going to be like, then sometimes those stereotypes are the only thing that they can rely on to get a sense of what it's going to be like. And this phrase that I'm hearing so much, programmers, you know, the idea that if you're a computer programmer, then you're a certain type of male. It's a very masculine dominated environment, masculine skill sets needed. All of these stereotypes that, by the way, I think are completely inaccurate and we need to remove. They're there. They're very, very real. I mean, just share some thoughts about that, those stereotypes, and maybe even the stereotypes that are applied to you as a woman in STEM. I mean, do people assume, for example, that you've got more masculine traits than feminine traits because you're in STEM?
That is actually maybe quite true in some sense as well. I'll agree with you in most of the statement. But actually, oddly enough, I've never felt gender to be a limit. Maybe I'm just lucky, the environment I'm put in, and maybe also my character of I never let things put behind me. I kind of always want to push the limit in that sense. And also, I always believe that engineering is for everyone, male or female, just like any career. It's more of an individual passion that they can discover. Of course, it's by guidance of people around them. I can't expect a teenager to know exactly what they want. I mean, we are all discovering, even me as an full-grown adult, I will still be wondering, what should I do next? I need guidance from a mentor and stuff like that. I guess in terms of, for me, it's really very important to find a mentor that can guide me into a career decision or my passion development. And I will say throughout my career, I've been very blessed to have a lot of engineering mentors that guide me along the way and give me the encouragement. And it's not necessarily just female leaders that give me the encouragement to not stop, but even male, like my bosses back then, is always giving me the encouragement, hey, Yvonne, you can do it, or give me the guidance and stuff like that, and not judging me as a female engineer, but judging me as an individual to help me to get to where I want passionately. And the fact that is this group of people that can continue to pay it forward. I say it myself because I've actually received so much from all these great mentors around me that I actually felt the need, or unconsciously, I've been trying to share that mentorship with the people around me. And it's always give me that kind of additional encouragement when some of the engineers, even like in Dyson, we have diet program that's undergrad still searching that, should I go into STEM? And even in as a guest lecturer in NTU or NUS, some female students will just come to me, it's so good to see another female lecturer. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when this comment come to me, it kind of stuck with me for a while. I said, wow, you actually call me out as a female lecturer, as especially, and it's so important for them to see a figure like this, which it was never my kind of a thought process earlier. But I guess different people will have a different insight, and how it affects individual is different. But it's important for this individual to speak to someone that, not just one person, but a few of them, to get a sense of where they are going into and to actually continue to light their passion. I think you might hear me talking about a lot about passion, because to me, having a job is just doing it, but having a passion, you will give all your energy in it. And nothing's going to stop you with that when you have the right passion. So in fact, what I would encourage the young people, not just the female, but the male, to consider and have a thought of what their passion is. Talk to a good mentor, or they can actually seek for help. But understand, where is it going to take them? What are the challenges personally they have found? And also, how do they overcome that? Because every one of us will have a different story. Every one of us will have a different journey. And we will be able to learn from each other in later cases. And in fact, like Paul, and talking to you, I'm also learning about different things as an educator. What can we do to help the future generation? And from the conversation I have with you, I can also feel your passion as an educator to give more opportunity to the young people in the STEM industry. Mm-hmm. And actually, in the fact that maybe I also have to have your insight, like how can we as educators do to help these young people discover the joy in STEM in a more white cover way.
Yeah. Look, I think you spoke about the importance of mentors and role models and you know, having these leadership figures, if you like, in fields. And I think that's so, so important and really important for teenagers as they're developing those interests, finding those passions. And if we think about girls in particular in STEM subjects, if we go back, you know, maybe 10 years or so, the conversations with girls around STEM were kind of framed in terms of, look, if you really want to do it, there's no reason why you can't. It's going to be tough. You're going to be the only girl on your course. You're going to be the only girl in your engineering company, et cetera, et cetera. And we kind of painted this picture of, if you want to do it and you're prepared to work really hard and you're prepared to handle the adversity, then you can succeed. Now, for some characters, they think, right, I'll take the challenge and I'll go with it. For many, many other girls, they may have found that passion, but they thought, I just don't want that challenge and that difficulty moving forward. Now, if we think about the present day, and I think about my school, NLCS, We talk an awful lot about the importance of subject passion and expertise from our teachers. Our head of department in maths, design and engineering, chemistry, physics and biology are all women. And that's not because we've got anything like positive discrimination going on. It's because they were the strongest candidates in a really, really competitive field. And what that does to the girls is it gives them a very real sense of, okay, this is normal. A girl in a STEM field, a girl studying maths, a girl getting passionate about physics, it's not this out of ordinary experience anymore. It is perfectly normal. And I think that the more that we can normalize girls being involved in STEM, then the more we take away those barriers that I was talking about, particularly with stereotypes and this idea that it's male dominated and you have to be masculine when you get there or have masculine characteristics. So for us, I mean, our educational philosophy is about helping the children find their passion. And if that passion is in physics or if it's in English literature or if it's in medieval history or if it's in dance and creative subjects, we just want our children to find their passion. And taking away those barriers, making every student in the building understand that all of those opportunities are available to them is a really important, really important part of it. I do think one thing that we don't do enough of in education is work together, schools working together with universities. So if we think about this, the funnel, if you like, of experience, you've got girls in schools studying STEM subjects. You've got girls moving into STEM subjects for their degrees. You've got girls graduating and then girls moving into STEM-related fields for their careers. And at every one of those barriers, there's a drop-off. So we've got, and you know, if all of the data that I've got reference to is pretty much UK-centric. But if we think about maths, chemistry, biology, you've pretty much got a 50-50 split in terms of the proportion of boys and girls deciding to study those subjects at A-level in the UK. When they move into university, the males move slightly ahead. When you look at those that graduate, the gap is even bigger. And then when you look at the proportion of the workforce in STEM-related fields, I think it's about 20% are female. So there's this big fall away, and we need to get to grips with why that's happening. And I think it's crucial that there's a conversation and a joined up vision, if you like, between schools and universities and industry. As I've said before, I think we're heading in the right direction. There's been some big improvements in recent years, but we're not there yet. There's still still a long way to go. And it's also interesting, if you look at the data of women in STEM-related fields in university, and of course, we're kind of conceptually aiming for that 50-50 split between male and female. The sciences are broadly there. I mean, it's kind of 40%, 45% in the UK. If you look at engineering and computer science, wow, the difference is huge. I mean, it's still, you know, less than 20% of people studying computer science and engineering in the UK, less than 20% are women. So there are still some fields within STEM where we for some reason we've not made that breakthrough.
Yeah, I think definitely I totally agree with you. And I guess even for my case, it's even more significant because I'm a mechanical engineer. And when you mentioned about masculine, it's even more for mechanical engineer because it kind of traditionally equate that to strength as well. Because a lot of stuff, to be fair, certain things, we can't change that. Some of the strength of a certain female, I would not have the exact same strength as one of my guy engineer. I'll seek his help in that sense. But this has also evolved because of technology and advancement. There's a lot of things that we can use with our bright mind to design tools to help us. So things that I might not be able to use with my bare hands before, I can actually seek help as a technology to actually use that as a replacement. And therefore, I think this also set the trend of more female jumping into it because we can use our skill set differently to apply into engineering in terms of STEM in that sense. But I mean, as we go along, this is how maybe the trend of ratio will be changing. But of course, and also I think we need to be conscious about it and still not be complacent. That will be my take. As an educator, when I set up a course in NTU, I specifically ask for cross-disciplinary so that people have real-life hands-on as the students for them to get a real life of how industry work. At the same time, I'm very conscious about putting female undergrads into the course. And when I form them into team, I make sure there is a mix. Mm. It's not just a team with, if I have to form five teams of five members in each team, and if I only have five female undergrads, I'll make sure one female is in each team so that they get exposed to the real environment. Mm. And also for the other side, for their male colleagues to see the advantage of having a female counterpart in their team, because everyone brings about a different values. And the fact of female and male, that there's a little slight difference of thinking process. And somehow or other, the stereotyping of, I think female are more inclined to dig pills in that sense. So there's a good mix about it, because then there will also be some of the male that are more dig pill centric or stuff like that. But it's exactly the idea of putting ourselves out there in the environment up front so that we will not be afraid about what is happening. Because you have a taste of or a preview of what's going to happen. And you say, actually, it's not that tough. Mm. And it can work out. I guess this gives them a lot of encouragement to go through, which I think that helps. And I think some of my graduates did come back to tell me that, hey, Yvonne, actually what you said in a course there has helped me to expose myself two ways, not just as a female engineer to the environment that I'm going to be exposed to, but the fact that I can work as a mechanical engineer, work with different electronics or computer science engineers to say that how can I apply my skill in a more holistic way. So when I get that feedback, it's very encouraging. And actually, it spurred me on further to get more of this exposed to the young people so that they can know, yes, the challenge is not easy, to be fair. Any other job, not just in STEM. Wherever there's unknown, you'll always be skeptical. But once you're exposed to it, you actually find that when you look back, it's not too bad. You can handle it. You just have to push yourself a little bit more or concentrate on what really spur you on from the beginning. And why do you even take STEM education for a start? It's not something that someone tell you to do. It might be started off from a mentor or somebody that you respect or a role model telling you it's a good path, go for it. But you yourself will have felt and a spark or interest, therefore you go pursuing it. And therefore, I need them or need all of these young women to always go back to this spark that spurred them on and hold on to it. Mm. Because the journey will never be easy for any career, to be fair. And if you hold on to that spark and you truly believe in it, you will find ways to get yourself out of this skeptical moment or that in that initiation to move to the next step. Because when you always keep moving forward and you are obsessed about solving problems, for example, for me, and engineering give me that opportunity and STEM education give me that opportunity and knowledge to apply to for my passion of solving problems. Because if I don't have this STEM education, I will not be able to have all this foundation to solve the problem that I actually encounter. It's actually quite interesting to see that something in my daily life, I'll say, this is actually quite simple. But I can see the difference between myself and some of my friends that are not in STEM education. They say, oh, you mean you can just solve it like that? I've not spoiled on it, go ahead.
I think that's so important. And I'm really big on the importance of discourse and messaging and the labels that we use. And I've often wondered if there's not a problem with the word engineer, because when you say engineer, it's not just a standalone word. It delivers all sorts of conceptual ideas, and it's got an awful lot of baggage with it. And I'm reminded of a piece of research that I saw, I think about 10 years ago now, and it came out of the US. And I've got a feeling it was from some National Association of Engineers or the equivalent in the US. And they spoke to high school children, and they asked them lots and lots of questions. And when they asked the question, do you want to be an engineer? Girls were twice as likely as boys to say no. So they just rejected that word engineer. I don't want to be an engineer. When they asked them the question, do you want to design a safe water system? Would you like to save the rainforests? Would you like to contribute towards climate change? Then the girls hugely outnumbered the boys. And I think this sense of problem solving, making a difference, contributing towards the world, I don't think it automatically and naturally ties in with that concept that we have when we say the word engineer. So I just wonder if we need to be really careful about the labels that we use and the words and phrases that we use, because essentially those two questions are asking the same thing, and the research delivered completely contrasting results.
I'm learning new stuff again, Paul. To be fair, I'm ever so proud to say I'm an engineer. And in fact, all the time when I feel like any particular about my profession, the first thing I search for is engineer. Or even for industry, I'll search for anything engineering. Any other than that, I would like, really? I'll put others. That's a very good insight that we have shared, actually. To be more, I guess, about the future as we are leading towards it, because I would say the young people today are so much smarter and more privileged than I was when I was growing up. And because of the access of internet, the social media, there's so much information and it's so rich, and they actually have the passion to even help even much more than before. Therefore, I guess that is how, when you actually give them a bigger scope of thing about how to solve a problem in a statement, it's more exciting than just a role of an engineer. And probably it's something that we have to package in some of the way. What is an engineer? What does it entail? Because people might think in an old school way, engineers is used in an oil rig, in a petrol firm, and construction or not, and stuff like that. So it's kind of a shift of change about what engineer is. And how an engineering title is such a cool thing that can relate to so many of this solving problem solution that is given out there, even for the world that is moving towards sustainability. You talk about all this recycle movement and all that. It all takes an engineer to be part of it. I wouldn't say they are the only one that solve it, but it is actually a composite, if I might say it. In a sense, you need civil engineering, you need an engineer, you also need scientists in that sense. But then again, even scientists is also from STEM education.
Yeah.
In that aspect. And I think we probably is something that we could ask ourselves as well. I mean, I don't know. It always gives me that when I talk to educators like yourself, give me inspiration to see what else can we do in school or even in university context or even in a secondary school level to help inspire the younger generation to get excited about STEM. What else can we do? I mean, I've been going around to different university, to junior college as well, to share about me as an engineer. And also when they actually choose in the choice of choosing education in university, in a spur of hope that when I actually talk to them, I give them some clarity as well, what they're getting into. I guess it gives me some encouragement that with those clarity, they actually get more insights about what they're getting into and give them encouragement about what STEM actually brings them into.
I think conceptually, you could ask that question of every discipline, couldn't you? How do we inspire youngsters to get excited about fill in the blank with every discipline in schools and university? And I think with the STEM subjects, for me, it's the same formula as every other subject. We need passionate teachers. We need subject specialists. We need teachers that are not just delivering a curriculum, but they're showing children how engineers think, how scientists think, how mathematicians think. They're giving that different perspective. And I still think there is nothing greater, and I don't think there ever will be anything greater in terms of influencing our children to move into any discipline than a passionate, inspirational teacher in front of them in the classroom. And, you know, we always say at NLCS, our teachers are our most valuable resource, and their expertise and their passion is the most precious thing that we have. So that idea about engineering becoming more normalized, more part of the landscape in schools, we agree with that. You walk into most schools and you see a subject called design technology. We call it design and engineering because we want the children to understand that concept of engineering. Part of the difficulty, I think, is that these stereotypes and these ideas that youngsters have about engineering come from a point of not having studied it at school. There's some unknown about it. you know, they know what maths is because they've been in maths lessons for the last 12 or 15 years. They know what science is because they've been in those lessons. Engineering, there's still some mystery and some unknown about it. So we're trying to break down those barriers. And again, I've referenced it in another point. Schools working with universities, schools working with industry, I think is a real vital ingredient, especially in the STEM subjects, to get the children to understand what's possible and what's out there.
Yeah. In fact, I can see that trend. There's more of that, which is very encouraging. I will also hope to have more engineers out there speaking about engineering so that we can actually look at it. If maybe I'm an engineer, or just look at equation. Yeah. It's just like STEM equal to engineering is not naturally. It's not a natural effect, but it's not also the only equation, because you can get into different field of engineering. You can also get into a different environment. If you go deeper, you become scientist, but that doesn't mean that you stop there. And I guess it's also, engineering is a big word. You say it really right. It's very big. And a lot of people will say that, okay, what does engineering entail? Does it mean that I only do hardcore mechanical? But no, electrical, electronics, computer science, those are also engineering. So I think education and bringing more people understanding about what engineering brings for them and how it applies also to their daily life. I guess that is also that secret recipe that I find is very important, because if they walk around, they can see there's so many engineering opportunity when they actually match that, which I find it very exciting.
Yeah, me too. And I think maybe the final thought from me would be that if we are going to normalize STEM options for girls, then we have to make sure that we don't genderize STEM. And I'm thinking here about, and I've worked with heads of department in the past that have done this. You know, maybe your design technology, computer science departments are really trying to promote girls in those subjects. And so whilst the boys are building some machinery and doing some mechanics, the girls are asked to design Instagram filters, or they're asked to do something which is, again, playing into those stereotypical beliefs, something which is a female version of STEM. I would also point to, I think Lego have done fantastic things for STEM and the promotion of STEM and generating excitement amongst youngsters. And then what do? They produce something called Lego for Girls, and it's all about pool parties, and it's all about things which are sort of stereotypically female. And I think it's so important that we remove that genderization, if that's a word, from STEM, and just present it completely to all of our students as it is in its purest form.
Yep, totally agree with you. Because like right now, I'm having a multiple hat. I'm a leader in an engineering firm. I'm also an educator. I'm also a student itself. So I look at it as all these roles play a part in setting the normalization, as you call it, and the fact of not stereotyping and be conscious about it. Because I think one of the things is, again, we cannot be complacent. Our numbers might be increasing, but if we go back to the old school way of doing things, of putting female on a different role, even though they're in engineering, it's not going to be fair for how they have educated themselves in STEM to be able to contribute. Yeah. And the fact that we should be even more conscious as even educator to call that out and not stop calling that out. At the same time, as being a female leader, to call that out in this kind of wrong behavior, in that sense, I'll call it a wrong behavior. Even in the workplace I have, I say, hey, most of the time, I might be more harsh with my female engineers, in a sense that I really want them to step up to prove themselves because they are capable and not hide behind their comfort zone, I would say. So I think it's very important that we keep being aware of it and continue to spur towards that.
Yvonne, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. I think you're a real inspiration. And I can tell you, in our school, we've got a lot of girls that are passionate about the STEM subjects. And if your schedule allows, pop in and have lunch with them at some stage. They'd love to meet you and hear about your experiences. And look, I hope we can take this conversation beyond this podcast and stay in touch.
Definitely. I'll hope to do more engineering activities with them beyond lunch. that would be more exciting. Thank you, Paul, for your time.
Thanks, Yvonne. Pleasure chatting with you.
Thanks, Yvonne. Thank you, Paul. As a mother of both a boys and girl, I'm really inspired to kind of reframe this subject and definitely not genderize it. You've made some really valid points today, Paul. We just need to bring the cool factor back on solving problems, creating solutions. So thank you both for taking the time. And thank you to all listeners today for joining us on BridgeChamps podcast on women in STEM today. We hope you found this topic interesting. And now relating back to what both Paul and Yvonne discussed on the importance of better partnership between industry, universities, and school, I'd like to make a shout out to the James Dyson Award. This award is an international design award open to university undergrads and graduates that celebrate, encourages, and inspires the next generation of design engineers. It is run by the James Dyson Foundation. And I believe that the national winners for the 2021 awards will be announced today, August 25th. So it's all very exciting. This brings us to an end of the podcast. Next up on the series of BridgeChamps podcast series, we have Dr. Sara Leonetto speak about diversity and inclusion. Do join us again in these conversations so that we can all do our part in making a difference where it counts. Thank you all. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, and we hope you enjoyed today's episode. As always, don't forget to subscribe and rate our channel on Spotify, Apple, Google, and all other podcast platforms. For more information about the Chamber, please visit www.britcham.org.sg.